With more than 2 million downloads, this is your number one source for true crime coverage in America. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers Podcast, Murder in the Morning.
This is an interesting new piece to the Brian Koberger case. And I also feel like what we're about to talk about of what the judge is viewing is a judge who is also out of touch with how media and social media work today. I don't think the judge grasps this at all. I just judging by the statements that were made and what's out there and what he thinks he's able to control, I think he's like living in 1998, quite honestly. The judge overseeing the Brian Koberger case abruptly paused a hearing on Thursday on the potential change of venue for the capital murder trial after a defense expert witness showed social media content in court. Woo! Koberger, a former Washington State University graduate student, of course, accused of killing four University of Idaho students and faces a capital murder. And the trial is scheduled for June of next year. Judge John Judge, who presides over the case in Idaho's 2nd Judicial District, listened to arguments from both the prosecution and the defense regarding whether the trial should remain in Latah County, where the crime occurred. The hearing saw testimony from three expert witnesses, including Brian Edelman, a co-founder of the jury consultancy firm Trial Innovators, hired by the defense to survey prospective jurors' knowledge and opinions about the case in Latah County. Let's take a listen to some of that testimony.
Latah County residents that were related to Moscow, specific Moscow connections.
Well, this is kind of the unique nature of this too, that I see in cases like national disasters, like wildfires is a good example, where it's this like collective trauma everybody goes through. So you can see 76% of residents here lived or knew someone who lived in Moscow at the time of the murders. So they have, they either are here, the loved one is here, and it creates anxiety, right? So I think it was like almost 40% of students left during Thanksgiving, didn't come back until, because they were scared for their safety. And you see that in the other questions. So asking about if people experience stress, anxiety, or fear during that search, and you can see 39% reported that they personally did, and another 45% reported that someone they know.
Yeah. So a lot of people obviously know about the case there in Moscow, Idaho. During his testimony, Edelman showed Facebook posts in the courtroom searching Moscow murders on the platform and shared a screen recording of the results. Quote, you can see the extent of content that's out there from groups that are just talking about the case and sharing information and discussing what they think happened in videos and posts, which may include anything from influencers and podcasters to sharing traditional news stories through their local newspapers or television stories, Edelman explained. Did they name us at all? Did they show our graphic or anything in court?
I looked. I was watching as they scrolled through, and then they stopped saying, we don't need to share this with everybody. Oh. So I think they would have gotten to us, but I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because anytime, right. If you go to like Apple Podcasts and search us, we're number one on everything because we have just so much content.
Awesome.
Yeah. The presentation included various Facebook groups, posts, and videos, which many of which use sensationalized language or speculated on case details. Concerned about the impact of displaying such content, Judge John Judge stopped Edelman and paused the hearing, which was live streamed on the public or to the public via YouTube. This is what he said. Let's take a listen.
I don't think we need to advertise all these. Honestly,
okay.
We've been trying to protect from this kind of stuff.
Your Honor,
I'm aware of it. I don't look at it. I don't read it. We know it's there.
May we take a brief break, Your Honor?
Sure.
Koberger's lead public defender, Ann Taylor, requested a break to discuss the situation privately. After a 30-minute pause, the court resumed and judge announced a one-hour lunch break. He decided that the first 15 minutes following the recess would not be streamed to the public, allowing only the victim's family members who were watching online to view those first minutes through Zoom. It's kind of a compromise, judge said. We thought there were certain things that maybe we don't want to send out to the public. I don't necessarily know what it all is, but I need to look at it and see it. Judge John Judge, just for so you know, it's already out there for the public. You're not doing anything different by saying we're not going to put it on the live stream. It's already there. So this is where I'm like, I don't think he quite understands what he's doing. Like, I don't think he understands what this means.
I think you're right. I mean, you can't escape this. And especially with algorithms, if you are on YouTube, TikTok, wherever, if you've looked at this once, you're going to continue to see it. So if it hit you when this first happened, you're still seeing it. Well, you're being inundated. That's the way our world is now.
It's like someone who views media like, well, if it's not on the 5 o'clock news, then nobody's going to hear about it. No, everyone's heard about it already because they followed it throughout the day as it happened. You're not the gatekeeper, John, Judge John. You're not. As much as you'd like to be, as much as you used to have been prior to all of this, you're not the gatekeeper to information. So to not stream this or to pause it because you don't know what the fuck's going on, that's on you. that's on you not understanding what the fuck this is. And I'm sorry, you better figure it out if you'd like to keep being a judge, because this shit's not going away. It's going to be in pretty much every case you have going forward. So don't think you are the gatekeeper.
But this is one of the biggest cases we're going to see in the United States. This is going to be as big as Murdaugh, if not bigger.
Yes, it will be.
Bigger than Daybell, don't you think? This is huge.
This is going to be the biggest case we've seen. It will beat every case we've ever covered. It already has. Yeah. I mean, this fucking podcast was based on this case. Everything we're doing started with this case. I started podcasting true crime following this case exclusively. And it's grown into all of this that we do. But it will be the biggest case once this actually does make it to court. Here's another piece of audio from that hearing. Let's take a listen.
Four different counties overall. So we looked at Ada County, Bannock County, Canyon County, and Laetoken.
I'm going to talk to you a little bit later about the three comparative counties, but for now, can you walk us through your high-level findings for Laetoken County and Ada County?
Sure. So I think high-level, you can see case recognition is very high, and it's also high in Ada County. It's 93% there. It's almost everyone in Laetoken County, 98%, which is similar to what I saw in the George Floyd case, where it was 99%. So this is extremely high. They're pretty much the same. And it's not just a passing familiarity with the case. It's not that they recognize it but don't know much. You can see people in Laetoken County reported that they followed the case somewhat or very closely. Almost 70% are closely following this case. And again, that means they're actively looking for information, passively consuming information, talking about it. So it's a big deal in this community.
Kubberger's defense team has argued that the trial must be moved out of Laetoken County to ensure his constitutional rights to a fair and impartial jury. In court findings, the defense claimed that Laetoken County has been utterly corrupted by news exposure about the case, fostering a mob mentality within the community. Ann Taylor and her team seek to move the trial to Boise, Idaho's capital city. Located about 300 miles south of Moscow, Boise, situated in the state's largest county, offers a potentially more unbiased jury pool, Taylor argued. The defense supported its request for a change of venue with the results from a phone survey conducted by a hired trial consultant. I love phone surveys. Like, who the fuck is even answering phone surveys?
Well, and that's the same stuff we run into with our political polling. I don't answer the phone because it comes in as spam. I'm not taking it. Well, if you want to text me, I might answer you.
If you'd like to get a poll of 65 plus age individuals, do a phone survey. And that's about as accurate as you're going to get in that demographic, because they'll still answer a phone survey. Some, maybe. But you're not going to get a very... And then you got to go, okay, who's taking the phone survey? Like, who's accurately actually doing the fucking survey? It's probably a lot of kind of, this is just me, I guess, profiling a little bit, but it's kind of the people who are going to be more into this, that are going to be, telling the kids to get off their fucking lawn. In that sort of persona, I just think you'd find that. You're going to find, because they have nothing else to do. If you're a busy human being, you're not taking a phone survey that's showing up. You're not.
No.
So, yeah, you're going to get people with a lot of time on their hands that are very judgmental. And, yeah, they're going to tell you that they fucking think he's the devil. Because he kind of is. Remember the survey initially...
Probably terrified that area.
Yes. The survey initially drew criticism from Judge John because it polled prospective jurors in the community, potentially tainting the local jury pool. Prosecutors also opposed the defense's motion, arguing that the pretrial publicity is common in high-profile cases and does not justify a venue change under Idaho law. Quote, a move to Boise is neither necessary nor convenient, Lado County Prosecutor Bill Thompson stated in his filing, arguing that the defense survey results are flawed. And then he took a big puff on I just picture him like having a giant pipe that he's smoking with his giant beard. It's like, it's neither necessary nor convenient. Cherry tobacco. Thompson suggested alternative measures such as an expanded jury pool to ensure an impartial jury. Ultimately, the decisions rest with Judge John. He grant the defense's request to relocate the trial, he could choose to remain with the case unless he opts to withdraw due to the venue change, according to Idaho criminal rules. I don't know. I think we want to handle this in a way where the families don't have to continue to be inundated and suffer through this shit. It will be very inconvenient for them to attend the trials because it's 300 fucking miles away and it's going to take months. So you're talking families that are going to need to almost relocate temporarily for that time. And that's a big expense. And it's life-changing. If you were to say to any of us, like, hey, by the way, we need you to go over here for like 3 months. What? For something that, you know, you shouldn't have ever had to endure to begin with. So I get that, but at the same time, what's the least bad of the options? We have the trial here in Lado County, and on appeals, they say, yeah, look, this is way too biased, which they have a lot of grounds to say that. They really do. Or, you know, do we inconvenience people for a little bit of time? Nothing's good.
That's a tough one.
Nothing's good. Nothing's fair. Nothing is right here. At the end of the day. And I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. If I were to say, let's not do a Koberger retrial, and everybody's like, oh, you'll never get a retrial of this case or that case. Really? Pretty much everybody thought that about Alec Murdaugh. Guess what's probably going to happen soon? He's going to get a retrial. It's to the Supreme Court. They're in South Carolina. They're likely going to look at this and go, yeah, I mean, based on fucking jury tampering, you get a new trial. Not to say that there's no jury tampering here, but it is an argument of the location. Without a doubt, it is.
It is. I mean, and they need to do this trial right. So from the very beginning, they need to do it correctly so they don't end up in that situation.
Yeah. So.
Sorry. It's reality.
We'll see what happens as this gets... It seems far away, but it's really not. June of next year, if we actually make that date. I mean, we're into September. So, fuck. We're literally...
Less than a year.
Yeah, we're less than a year. And we're now, what, 2 years out from when this crime occurred? Roughly, next month we will be?
Yeah.
Yep. Two or three. Two, yep. Right? Yeah. It happened in 22.
Yeah.
Which feels like fucking yesterday. So...
It does.
There's just a lot of hard decisions to be made here. And I'm not like, let's do this for Ann Taylor. It's like more, let's do this for the families so they don't have to keep dealing with this bullshit. I mean, it will never go away. They will never be whole. But let's try and find the path of the most peace that one can get after something as horrendous as this.
Sick of the ads? Yep. We are too. Then you need to become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts. Heck, even try it for 3 days free right now. As a Premium Plus subscriber, you'll get exclusive access to uncut interviews before everyone else. Plus, no more commercials. So, if you have an iPhone, just search True Crime Today Premium Plus and press subscribe now.